Welcome to Revealing Jesus. Are you hungry to learn more about our beautiful Savior Jesus? I am your host, Christina Pereira, lover of Jesus, apostolic leader, licensed and ordained minister, author, podcaster, and kingdom party planner. Did you know that the Bible declares that grace and peace are multiplied to us in the knowledge of Jesus? And that simply means the more we learn about our beautiful Savior, the more we will experience all He died to give us. Join me for all things the King and His Kingdom, including revelatory teaching, interviews with fivefold ministers, media leaders, authors, and more. Come discover the beauty of God displayed all across the body of Christ. Together, we are revealing more of Jesus to a hurting world today. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode of Revealing Jesus with Christina Pereira. I am your host, Christina, and I'm so excited to have you with me here today. I hope and I pray that you are doing well and enjoying the continuously flowing favor of grace pouring from our beautiful Savior and Father in heaven. I've got a great show for you today. I have an amazing leader in the body of Christ with me back today. He is the WJA Power Professor, Old Chair, Testament Interpretation of Biblical Hebrew at Southern Methodist University. He is a lover of the Bible, and he is the author of the new revised edition of Fresh Air, The Holy Spirit for an Inspired Life. Please help me welcome back Jack Levison.
Hi, Christina. Great to be back with you.
It's so good to have you back. I had you on the podcast Was it this year or last year? I can't remember.
It was last year because I was in British Columbia, in Vancouver. Mm. And so it must have been like two summers ago.
Yes. And I love that now you're back in your SMU office with all of your amazing books.
My not very beautiful office with not very well-read books.
Don't let him fool you, you guys. He is a lover of the Word of God. And the first time I met you, Jack, I just fell in love with you. And if you guys, my listeners out there on Revealing Jesus, you know that I love the Word of God and I love the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And together, when we have the both of them, we are an unstoppable force. Isn't that right, Jack?
Amen. Amen. Yeah. We are.
Yeah. You know, it's so amazing to me that we're getting ready to enter this beautiful season. And well, we are in it now. It's Advent right now as we're sitting here speaking. It's December 4th. And, you know, I've just been singing the Christmas carols already. And I'm so excited. And I just love this season as we get ready to celebrate the greatest gift of all, the Son. For unto you a child is born, and unto you a son is given. And I think this is such an excellent time to talk about the Holy Spirit as well.
The Holy Spirit is so active in Elizabeth and Mary and Simeon. I mean, it's as if I wrote a different book, and the chapter I wrote on the birth stories was called The Spirit and the Swell of Expectation. And you think of the swell of belly, Mary's belly. But there's this incredible expectation. So even before Jesus is born, the Holy Spirit is inspiring Elizabeth, inspiring Zechariah, inspiring Mary. And they come out with these beautiful songs of praise that we are familiar to us nowadays. And then Simeon as well, the old man Simeon, picks the baby up full of the Holy Spirit and praises God.
Wow. You know, I was reading through your book, Fresh Air, this morning, and the Holy Spirit took me to that chapter, the Song of Simeon. And what a beautiful story. That story's from Luke. And basically, there are certain cleansing rituals that are required under the Levitical law. And Mary and Joseph take Jesus to the temple, and they bring their offering. And the offering that you bring is based on your wealth. And so Mary and Joseph were very poor. And so they brought two doves to be offered as the cleansing ritual. And while they were in the temple, Simeon was there.
Yeah.
Tell me about the Simeon song.
No, I just smile. It's just a lovely story that, you know, you can picture Sunday morning church during Advent, right before Christmas. Everybody's busy and everybody's greeting each other, and they're putting presents into a box for poor people, and they're all busy. And that's the way I picture the temple. You know, Mary and Joseph come and they bring these two turtle doves because they're too poor to give the other offering. Yeah. And no one notices them. No one cares. Yeah. But Simeon does. And he's one of the most inspired people in the Bible. The Holy Spirit is attributed to him three times. I think it says the Spirit was upon him, the Spirit guided him, and then maybe the Spirit filled him or something. And so this is a very Spirit-filled old man. And by the way, most of your hearers are probably younger, but for those of you who are 68, like my age, or in their 70s or the 80s, do not think that the Holy Spirit has given up on you. It's the old man Simeon who can put away all the busyness around him, and he sees the baby Jesus, and he lifts that baby up in his arms. And what I love about this story is when he's filled with the Spirit and begins to speak, every word of what he says comes from the biblical book of Isaiah.
Yes.
And so he doesn't need a new prophecy. He doesn't need a new word. He doesn't need a new proclamation. What Simeon does when he's filled with the Spirit in the presence of Jesus is he goes back to the texts that he has studied and memorized and cherished. Mm-hmm. And those are the words that come out of his mouth. The Holy Spirit makes old words new. Yeah. Doesn't require new words. And I love that this man has studied and waited and prayed, and finally he alone sees who Jesus is, the baby in his parents' arms.
You know, it's amazing. I was reading that and I was just feasting on the chapters in Isaiah, and I actually went back and read Isaiah 60 and Isaiah 55 and all of those. And, you know, it was amazing. The Lord, the Holy Spirit was just giving me such revelation. I was just feasting with him this morning. And it's beautiful. The name actually, Simeon, means one who hears. And Simeon kept saying, "Now my eyes have seen," and his name means one who hears. And Jesus, while he was walking among the earth, would often say, "Those who have ears to hear and eyes to see." That's right. And what was so interesting about this is that Simeon goes, "Now my eyes have seen, now let your servant depart in peace." And then we see this beautiful prophetess come in by the name of Hannah, which means grace. And so when we have eyes to see and ears to hear the grace of God that's wrapped up in the Son of God, for Isaiah says, "For unto you a child is born and unto you a son is given, and of the government shall be upon his shoulders, and of the increase there will be no end." And so this is the beautiful coming of the Son. Mm-hmm. How marvelous and spectacular is that?
I've decided, and you're just making me decide even more, I decided that my Advent Bible reading was going to be Isaiah. I think I was listening to yesterday morning, and I listened to a devotional called Pray As You Go. And it was Isaiah 11, I think, "And the Spirit of the Lord is upon him, the spirit of fear and the sevenfold spirit." Yes. And I thought, I think I'm going to make Isaiah my Advent reading leading me to Christmas, because that's what led so much, that led Anna, that led Simeon. They were immersed in these visions of expectation from Isaiah. And not just the expectation of presents on the tree, or, you know, Christmas Eve services with pretty sweaters, but the expectation that God's redemption was drawing near in this inconspicuous, poor child.
Isn't that beautiful? See, it's just like God to show up in the small, the despised, the weak, the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And so with the birth of a child, with God reincarnated in human flesh, so that he could continue to fulfill those prophecies in Isaiah spoken about him, saying, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. You see, without the coming of the flesh of the Son of God, there is no Christmas. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that was good. That wasn't me.
I can watch your eyes. I don't know if anybody could see your eyes. I could see your eyes, and I thought, she's listening to something.
Yeah. And, you know, without the presence of the Holy Spirit, we cannot recognize Jesus, mm-hmm. right?
That's what the story of Simeon says. You know, we prepare ourselves through reading Scripture to meet Jesus, and then the Spirit fills us, and we can discern. And we discern Jesus in unexpected places in our world.
Yes.
You're not in the expected places of power. Not among the priests who are doing all the great work in the temple, but in the baby.
Yeah.
Whose can only afford two doves.
Yeah. Isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. Isn't that just like God? Yeah. You know, and I think it's amazing, you know, as we're entering this Advent season and we're thinking about all these beautiful things and the prophecies of Isaiah, you know, the entire book of the law, Leviticus and all of the burnt offerings and everything, they were all designed to be types and shadows pointing to Jesus. And the book of the prophets was all designed to, Isaiah is what we're speaking of right now. He's one of the books of the prophets of the Old Testament, was all designed to point to Jesus. But without the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, you see, Simeon recognized and saw Jesus because he had been studying the prophecies. And yet the Pharisees of Jesus's day, who also knew the prophecies and the Levitical law better than anyone else, could not recognize their coming Messiah. Why do you think that is?
I think we struggle with power and authority. There, that's the answer. We struggle with power and authority, and the message of the gospel is God comes to us without power, without any evident authority. God comes to us. You know, Luke calls Jesus a sign. You will see the sign, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now, a sign points to something.
Yes.
What does the sign of a baby wrapped in a diaper tell us about God's kingdom? How it comes. The sign signifies the kingdom that will be on this earth really powerless. And I think the grasping for power of professors, you might call them Pharisees, priests, politicians, church leaders, the desire for power, I think, is what causes us not to see and not to hear who Jesus is and who Jesus wants us to be. And that is people who are constantly, daily relinquishing power.
Mm-hmm. Constantly, so daily.
It's counterintuitive.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely. And it's so just like God, who holds all power and authority, to come as a lowly servant. You know, what I love about Jesus is the first time he came as a sacrifice to take away the sin of the world and all those who would believe, as a sanctifying sacrifice mm-hmm. for the body of who would become the body and bride of Christ. But he came first as a baby in service, but now he's coming back in his second coming as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
And he was enthroned on the cross. That's the whole dynamic of Christianity. So Mark's gospel, the first 8 chapters are full of miracles because you want to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. And the last 8 chapters of Mark's gospels have only one miracle or two, really one, and it's the withering of the fig tree, which is hardly the kind of miracle we all want, because in the second half, he's teaching all about suffering. First half miracles, second half suffering. And I worry that we in the church love the first half of Mark's gospel. Give me all the good stuff. Give mm-hmm. me all the healing and give me the great teaching and give me the march toward the kingdom of God. And so that's why Jesus' disciples say, can you give us the best places in the kingdom of God? James wants the right and John wants the left or whoever. And then Jesus at that point says, okay, let's start talking about suffering. Let's start talking about step two. And step two is, I'm going to be enthroned on a cross. Are you willing to be baptized with that baptism? So it's really easy to get half the story. But Jesus had the whole story, and the whole story led him from a manger to a cross. Mm-hmm. And he repudiated power. He repudiated that kind of earthly authority at every moment. There's that great story in Luke, like chapter 10-ish, where he sends the disciples out two by two and they come back just glorious. Look, the demon listened to us. We healed the sick. And wow, Jesus is just about to say, yay, this is great. We did it. And the Holy Spirit takes hold of him, pulls him back by the neck from the precipice of glorying in power. And what does he say next? I thank God. I thank you, Father, that you have revealed these things to babes.
Yes.
Realize he catches himself. He almost goes with the power, but the Holy Spirit pulls him back and he prays a prayer that says, no, it's the babes, it's the nobodies, it's the powerless to whom you reveal yourself.
Amen. Isn't it beautiful? You know, it's so interesting to me. I've been really pondering really Israel's rejection of their Messiah. They had the law, the prophets, they should have recognized him. But what the rejection that they didn't recognize their Messiah, their day of visitation, they did not discern the times and the seasons of their visitation, brought the birth of the Gentile bride. You know, Jack, you and I would not have been saved were it not for Israel's rejection of their king. And so, you know, I think it fits perfectly in that suffering Messiah. You know, there's glory, there's power, the miracles, but it also comes with suffering, just like Jesus says to his well-meaning disciples who wanted a place of power. He said, can you drink the same cup that I'm about to drink?
Yeah, going back to Isaiah, when Jesus steps onto the scene and when he's an adult, the mm-hmm. very first thing he preaches comes from Isaiah 61, bring good news to the poor. And it's not the Pharisees who reject him. If it's his own hometown people in Nazareth, the little people even can't stand this notion that God is going to bring good news to the poor. And the imagery, and that's from Isaiah 61, and the imagery there is beautiful. It's lavish imagery of garlands, victory garlands for the poor. You know, it's not just a buck. Or it's not just a granola bar. It's lavish garlands on the poor. I had a student back at Seattle Pacific University, and she was in my Bible class, and she did something in one of the towns in Washington State. She did something for women in a shelter. Mm. A whole day where they got manicures and pedicures and they had their hair done. And then a Presbyterian church hosted them and they had rose petals all over the floor and they had this lavish dinner. And when I think about Isaiah and God's deep, deep love for the poor, I think about what this student did for these women in the shelter. Yeah. And I just think it's so important for us to remember that Jesus' ministry was to the poor, was to the prostitutes, was to the outcasts, and that was the community that surrounded him. And why? Because he was steeped in the vision of Isaiah. Mm-hmm. And knew what he needed to do, and it was not becoming a church triumphant, full of power, transforming the world. It was becoming a mustard seed that can mm-hmm. grow and become a bush, and the birds can rest in it.
Yeah. You know, and it's so interesting. Jesus often says, I've been sent to the sick. It's not the well who need a doctor. But, you know, I think the Pharisees and the theologians of Jesus's day found such fault and such grace being bestowed upon those who did not deserve it. And that's the whole message of Christ, is that he bestows good on us that we do not deserve. He brings us into places of honor that we have no business being, simply because he is there and he has done it for us. And so that self-righteous attitude that says they don't deserve it, what they don't realize is that none of us deserve it. Mm-hmm. Not one of us. Absolutely every single one of us deserved hell and death, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever should believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And that truly is the gospel, the goodness of God, the righteousness of God that is freely bestowed, because my Bible says, Jack, just like I know you know, and it says it's God who justifies the ungodly. Hallelujah. The prostitutes, the poor, the sinners, those who know they need a doctor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thrust of Paul's letters. You and I were talking earlier about the letter to the Galatians. I mean, Paul is trying to make people realize you don't deserve this. This is not yours. You know, I mean, that horrible parable that Jesus tells of the workers in the vineyard that my father-in-law used to hate. It's that, you know, the owner needs workers in the vineyard, and some people start at 9 o'clock, and then he needs more. They start at noon, and then any more. They start at 3, and then they need more, and they start at 5. And then when it comes time to get paid, right? Wow, the people from 5 o'clock, they make $100. Okay. The people at 3 o'clock, they make $100. The people at noon who started at noon, they make $100. And by this time, the people who start at 9 are really bothered by the master who pays them all the same. And that is a parable about the self-righteous. Oh no, I've been serving Jesus my whole life. How come they can get in on the last minute? Or how come they can live a life of whatever they're doing, sinfulness, and I've lived a life of righteousness? And that's that parable, that story is saying, no, none of us lived a life of righteousness. We are all bathed in grace. We were all given the joy of working in the vineyard of God. And I think a lot of the New Testament is trying to say, none of us is righteous, no, not one. It comes out of the prophets of the Old Testament. No one is righteous, no, not one.
Yes.
This is a work of grace.
Amen. Grace. Hallelujah. And it's so beautiful to me, because when we receive the righteousness of God that comes through faith, just like Abraham believed God and therefore righteousness was credited to him, right, when we receive the righteousness that comes through faith in Christ, that he truly has put away our sin, that we are truly forgiven, that is the good news. For I have come to proclaim the good news to the poor. And it's for a lack of preaching the good news that we see the justification of a self-righteous attitude. Mm-hmm. And truly, it is not Christ-like. And you and I were just talking about this, that there is a spirit that is at work that is truly anti-Christ. You know, Jesus himself says that we are to emulate him. And what does Jesus do? He blesses those who persecute him. He prays for those who mistreat him, right? These are the things that Jesus does. Jesus blesses and does not curse. And yet we see the self-righteous justification against hatred of our brothers and sisters whom we don't understand, or maybe are on a different side of a political spectrum, or even in a different church or a different denomination, which none of that is Christ. I love Galatians, and Paul says, did I baptize you? No. I'm so glad I didn't baptize you, because you're not baptized into me. Mm-hmm. No, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's neither Paul nor Apollos or Cephas. It's Jesus. It's Jesus Christ. It's the body of Christ. We are all one in Christ. And Jesus, through his body, has divided. He has put an end to the division of hostility between Jew and Greek, male and female, slave and free. We are all one in Christ. Isn't that beautiful?
It really is, and it shouldn't be that hard to understand. I was thinking about this just earlier, like 2 minutes earlier. If you have a parent who is demanding and you're always trying to meet their expectations, that's a crummy childhood.
Yeah.
If you have a professor who's demanding and you're always trying to meet her expectations or his expectations, yeah, that makes for a lousy class. Yeah. What if your parent is full of grace? Yes. And you're not meeting expectations, you're living in the joy of the grace of that parent. Now, that parent has expectations. There are parameters. There are things the child needs to do to grow. They do need to clean their bedroom floor. You know, they do need to put their dishes in the dishwasher or sink. But there is a difference between a parent who lives by expecting you and a parent who provides that kind of crucible of grace, yes, that lets you respond. And I hope we in the church haven't lost the sense that we live in a crucible of grace and that all of our works are an attempt to live in the joy of that relationship rather than meeting the expectations of a demanding God.
Yeah, and you know, the most beautiful thing about our Savior is that he knew, because of that sin nature inherited through Adam, that we cannot meet those demands. And so what grace does is it supplies. Mm-hmm. It supplies righteousness. You know, my Bible says that Christ has become unto us wisdom, righteousness, justification. It's all of those things. It was, you couldn't meet the demands because you were walking according to the flesh. So here I come back to Galatians. Does God supply his spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law or by the hearing of Christ? Mm-hmm. This is how God supplies his spirit and works miracles among you. And it comes through the hearing of Christ. You know, so as we come to this season, you know, I think it's important that we fix our eyes on the hearing of Christ. It's not just for Advent, not just for Christmas, but it's for every day of our lives, the hearing of Christ. And it's the Holy Spirit who brings out Christ from the law, from the prophets, from the scriptures.
Mm-hmm. The difficulty, I think, is that so much of our lives is built on achievement. I mean, I'm at Southern Methodist University. There I am. How do I do this? Southern Methodist
there
University.
There you are.
Hey, we're in the ACC. We're playing the championship game on Saturday. And these students have to accomplish. I mean, they're wonderful. I love these students. And they have to accomplish. They have to do certain things to get certain things, to get the job they want, the house they want, that kind of thing. Right. So, you know, the American dream is built on accomplishment. What makes many even Christians angry as, oh, they didn't have to work as hard as I did. Mm. You know, we shouldn't be giving this to them. We shouldn't be gracious to them. Mm-hmm. So we live in a culture of achievement and work, and that's good. I mean, I look at my books. I mean, some of these I've even written. I love to write. I love to teach. I love to work. I mean, I actually love working. But I hope I'm working out of grace.
Yes.
And not of meeting expectation.
Yes.
Because all of us need that grace.
Yes.
And problem is, we're trained from a young age, many of us, to work our way into a position, work our way into a marriage, or work our way into an economic status. And then you hear this message of grace, and it really doesn't make sense, because everything we've been told our whole life is achieve, accomplish, earn. And then God comes along and says, you know, no, you're not. How about we not do that? It's very hard to hear that message when everything else is about achieving and accomplishing and earning.
Yeah.
Grace is hard to receive, you know?
You know, what's coming up in my heart is the Apostle Paul saying, It's not I who labor, but the grace in me that labors more, even more abundantly. So, you know, grace isn't necessarily laziness. It's laboring with the Holy Spirit and the empowerment and the gifts and the anointings.
Right.
And it's laboring according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, we don't just go to start things to do things. You know, when I started revealing Jesus, it came out of a relationship with God, and he asked me to do it. He gave me the title and he said, go do, you know, teaching testimonies and interviews. And it came out of that. And therefore I labor out of the grace that's upon that. But if we are not led by the Holy Spirit, if we don't have the Holy Spirit to recognize that moment in our lives when Jesus shows up, even in the form of a lowly baby. See, it often doesn't come in a form that we expect. And a lot of times that can lead to disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to realize that the Lord loves to do things in a way that we don't expect it. I never thought I would be doing Revealing Jesus. I never thought I would be a podcaster. I never thought I would be doing broadcasting. It was never on my mind, ever. But just like Jesus, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. You know, do you think that Jesus really wanted to step down into the womb of a woman to come in the flesh of a man to be sacrificed?
You know, Philippians, it talks about, you know, it's the call to Christ hymn in Philippians 2, 5 to 11. Most scholars think this was actually an early church hymn that got sung in the early church. And he becomes the form of a human and takes on the form of a slave, even a servant.
A bondservant.
You know, and he goes down, 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 only then to be exalted.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I wanted to go back to something which I was thinking about as you were talking. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about spiritual gifts. And in English, we call them spiritual gifts, gifts of the Spirit. But he actually uses three Greek words for this. He uses the word charismata, then diakonia, and then he uses energema. And as you were talking, Christina, I thought about this. The very first word Paul uses to describe spiritual gifts, he does these three in a row in 1 Corinthians 12, is a charisma. And that word charisma is related to the Greek word charis.
Grace.
Which of course is grace.
Yeah.
So a spiritual gift is, first of all, grace.
Yes.
Secondly, it's diakonia, as in service. So a spiritual gift is grace for service. And the third word is energema, energe, energy. Power. And it's a gift that's given by grace for service that takes a supernatural power that we couldn't do on our own. And I think grace, service, energy. Isn't that kind of encapsulation of the Christian life? We receive grace, we serve others, and we do it with energy.
Jack, that's beautiful.
It is. I didn't write it. Paul did, but it is beautiful.
Thank you for sharing that. I have never seen that before or heard that before. But yes, I absolutely knew that it was a grace gift, the charisma.
Charisma.
Grace gifts. You know, it's interesting. Now what's coming up on my heart is when he ascended into heaven, he gave gifts. And the scripture is actually gifts as men. So there are actually people, men and women out there who are given as gifts to the body of Christ with these spiritual gifts to build up into the full knowledge of Christ until we reach the maturity of faith, right? In Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so isn't that beautiful?
Maybe you, Christina, are one of them.
I think I am. I think you are too.
I don't know. I'll deflect that. Maybe you.
I think you are too. I just love your beautiful heart and your hunger for the word of God. And I'm just so thankful. This has been so fun. I could just keep going on and on and on and on. But would you pray for our listeners, whatever the Lord puts on your heart today?
Yeah, I'll try not to leave too long a pause of listening.
No, you're fine, Jeff.
Cut that out in the editing. So,
no, yeah. This is my show. We wait on the Lord.
Okay. Our good God. We are going to run here and there in the next few weeks to get to Christmas. We'll have presents to buy, houses or apartments or condos to clean. We'll have lots to do. Go to the airport, pick people up. Oh God, make us like Simeon. Who can put aside the distraction of the bustle and see Jesus for who Jesus is. Help us to be like Simeon. Please give us time to read Scripture. Please help us to make time to read Scripture. And also, God, help us to stop and see people who may need to talk, who may need someone to walk with them. May we step out of our quick pace to go shoulder to shoulder with them because they are there. May we be people of grace to them.
Yes, Lord.
May we be people of service, and may we be people of energy, bucking the trend of busyness and accomplishment and achievement, to rest in your grace, to hear your words, to study your scripture, to be present to the poor parents with the two turtle doves, or anybody else who happens to be where we need to be. Make us that this Advent, so that by Christmas morning we can say, I stopped a few times, and I was there, a person of grace in the midst of a busy, difficult, and troubled world. And we pray this to you as Father, in the name of Jesus, in the grace of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jack. Thank you. Well, this has been so fun. I'm so thankful. Thank you for coming back.
Oh, Christine, I knew when I met you I'd want to come back. And this time I contacted you because I wanted to come back.
So good. Well, I hope and I pray today's episode has blessed you. I will have links from today's podcast and broadcast under the show notes, under Revealing Jesus, wherever you get your podcast with Christina Pereira. And I will have links where you can connect with our special guest, Jack Levison. And be sure to pick up a copy of his newly revised edition of Fresh Air, the Holy Spirit for an Inspired Life. Until next week, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of Jesus. God bless. I sincerely hope and pray today's episode has blessed you. Now it's your turn to continue the conversation. We are all evangelists of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Like this episode, rate it, share it with a friend. If it's impacted your life, let them know that you want it to do the same in theirs. Help spread the word of the good news of Jesus. Subscribe to the mailing list and get episodes, articles, downloads, and more sent right to you. Link in show notes, or just text Jesus to 1-833-815-7778. Again, that's Jesus, 1-833-815-7778. We would love to connect with you on social media. You can find us at Christina Pereira Ministries on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Until next week, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of Jesus. God bless.